Do that. I want to pray and just ask God to be a part of this service as we have already done, but especially during this time of reading of His Word, taking in His Word as spiritual food, we just pray that, that God will be a part of that. Father, we do thank You for the day that You have given to us today to worship. We thank You, Lord, for the songs we've been able to sing this morning, Lord, but also we just ask, Lord, that You would just give us eyes to see and ears to hear what Your Word would have for us today. We may take in that spiritual food that we so much need every day, not just on Sundays, but every day. And we just pray, Father, that You would just give us a desire to hunger for You and to know what that feels like and what that's like. I pray, Father, that we would just have a desire to be what You call us to be. Again, be with us during this time, and we just ask Jesus be a part of it, all of it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to Ephesians. That's where we are going to be this morning a little bit. And while you're turning there, I'm chapter 2, while you're turning there, I just want to remind you, I know Randy said it, but this Wednesday we need some help decorating the church on, you don't want me decorating the church on Christmas. I'm not very good with that, okay? I don't do well with that. So we need your help with that. And you don't want it to look the same as it did last year, because that's what I do. I don't have that imagination for Christmas and those kind of things. But what I have done is probably like you. I mean, y'all on Facebook once in a while, and you're looking at the Facebook, and some of y'all looking at MSN News, and you look at your news, and you can scroll through that every day, and you see some things on there that's just not good. And I just want to share some things that just happened this year, and just to open up our eyes, because things are not looking good out there. I don't know if you're looking at, I don't know if you live in the same world I'm looking at, but there are some things that just doesn't look good. Things are just really... And it's not the first time these kind of things have happened. Every year some things happen, but it just seems like things are ramping up. I'm not even going to talk anything about, I'm just going to share some things that are just happening in the United States. So, and some of these will sound familiar to you. Some have just been very recently, and some of them have been over the course of the year. But I just wanted just to kind of bring this to your mind as we get into the Word here. It says, I have a couple of things I want to share. Just recently, a man in the Colorado thing, he had... shot 12 people, and three of those he killed, and one of those was a police officer. We just read about that. We just saw that news. That's just over the weekend here, over the weekend. Also, a man shoots and kills a waitress in the Waffle House. I don't know if you knew that, just this last week at the Waffle House, because she told him that it's a non-smoking facility, and he turned around and he shot her in the head and killed her, and that was in Mississippi. Three men in Chicago lured a 9-year-old boy, I don't know if you know about that, in an alley, and shot him several times and shot him in the head. Just retaliation. Not that the 9-year-old boy was in a gang, but the others were in a gang retaliating for something that happened to one of the guys' brothers there, his family. The Ten Commandment Monument, was removed from Oklahoma Capitol grounds by the judges there this year. Terrorist kills 4 Marines in Tennessee at a recruiting station. Pastor's wife we know in Indianapolis was killed and shot in the head, shot 3 times. And through some of these, we see the media is pushing racism. We just see that it continues to be. Indiana teen was just charged for planning to blow up his high school here in Indiana. And the ingredients were found in his bedroom here this last week. A 21-year-old man goes into a church. We know about that one. Was it Carolina, South Carolina? Into a church on a Wednesday night Bible study, and he shoots and ends up killing, the total ends up killing 9 people. In Waco, Texas, we know that a biker gang had come up and turns up with 9 people dead. And also, we see my last one here was police are being killed in riots across the United States with vandalism and on properties. And we see men want to be women and women want to be men. There's no fear of God. And we see that there is a big problem with our media, who tells only what they want to say. And this does not count all the other things. Those are just incidents that's happened this year. And if you didn't hear about those, your head's in the sand. Okay? And before I get into the Word, there's a few more I want to share with you, and then hopefully we can get to some positive things here. My screen is not on. The screen's right now. There we go. I thought it's not on. Okay. Thank you, Chris. So I want to just look at a couple things. Divorce in the United States, the average length of a marriage that ends in divorce is 8 years. Nearly 2,400 divorces every day, and we see that, the U.S. Census Bureau, we see that. 876,000 divorces a year. And the Baptist Barna Research Group measured divorce by religion. They found out 29% of the Baptists are divorced. That's the highest among the religion groups. Isn't that crazy? Out of Baptists, We put this title on ourselves, and we put this title on ourselves, and we think we're special. And then there was 21% of atheists and agnostic people who don't believe in God. Their divorce rate was lowest. There's something's wrong. Something is completely wrong. Pornography. Most people don't want to hear this one, but $13 billion were spent. That's in 2013. $13 billion. That's a lot of money. Every 39 minutes, they make a new pornography movie. This was a killer. A survey taken at Promise Keepers at the men's rally to get their lives right with God revealed that over 50% of the men in attendance were involved with pornography within 1 week of attending the event. And that was 20 years ago when Promise Keepers were really doing well. 50% of Christian men, 20% of Christian women say that they are addicted to pornography, and the most popular day of the week for looking at pornography is on Sunday. This is why we need that Sunday worship. This is why people aren't here today. Some are not here today. And that's from the ex-pastor site. It's a good site. It's a good Christian site. Suicide starts, the whole stats in America are used. It's 111 suicides a day. That means 111 people took their lives, okay? And this is from the Disease Control and Prevention. That's their stats. The biggest group there, the biggest group is what? 45 to 54. So many people think it's in that teens section, that teens is up there, but the highest is 45 to 54. That's huge. 40,000 suicides per year. And then the prison population. The U.S. has the largest population in the world. I believe in the system that we need, that people need to pay for their crimes. But I'm telling you, we got it all backwards. This is not a political message, but I'm just saying we have it backwards. Somebody uses drugs and we give them 25 years. Somebody rapes somebody, we give them 7. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong there. 1.53 million and rising. And I was looking at some other stats, and they said it's more like 2.4 million. More than 3 million Americans have a record. There's a problem with what's going on with our police departments. There's a problem with the whole thing with racism. You see this whole thing, that's just brewing up. It's brewing up. It's brewing up. And you can't put your head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist, because every time you turn around, it's going on. Something is going on. And it can be very negative. It can be very negative. It can bring you down. If you get, someone told me once, this is, hey, if you want to feel better, quit watching news for about 10 days, you'll feel better. Because I have to get away from the news sometimes because of just, I'm hearing what they want to tell me. The media wants to tell you. They want to hike up. They want to get the biggest ratings, so they're going to hike up the best story they can, then they're going to tweak some things. They're just going to pick on some things. Racism is a big thing. It's a huge thing. Is that funny? Isn't it funny? There's even in Huntington, there's somebody here that's one of our members and told me, Jimmy, I remember when the signs were here on the streets of Huntington where it says, don't let your black blankety blank be here when the sun goes down. That was in Huntington. He says, I grew up with that being here. But nobody wants to talk about it because people want to come to church and they want to act like things are great and they want to worship God, but inside their heart is black and dirty and sinful and hateful and just totally ugly. That's just one topic. If you look at it, Huntington County is the number, number 5 for the largest alcoholics, and especially on the female side, on alcoholics for the state of Indiana. But you don't hear about that. You don't hear that stuff being talked out by our mayor. You don't hear that stuff being pushed by our law enforcement. You don't hear that stuff. That stuff to be pushed and talked about. And the churches, we need to be talking about living right. So this is where we're going to be. We're going to be in this. We're going to be in this chapter 2 for a few moments. I want you to open it up. I want you to look at it because there's something different. Excuse me. There's something different. And we should be different. But he says, as for you, in verse 1, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us used to live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and throughout and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay. So this whole thing about being alive in Christ, we're going to look at some things here. We look at this thing and we find out that, wow, everything that's going on in the world, what can I do? How am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to live through all these things that are going on? How am I supposed to be able to handle this news that's coming up? You go to the mall and you have this fear of what could happen there. You just have this fear. We're not to live in fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Okay? No, we have that tendency to lean toward that. But how can we make a difference? How can we make a difference? We can make a difference. Number one, we have to remember that we too are separated and we're in darkness. We need to remember we used to live like that. We used to, when we didn't have Christ in our life, we were those people. Whether we may not have been in the first people that I was talking about and those lists of things that happened to those people, but you were, could be in anywhere. And there's a lot of topics we didn't even talk about. We didn't talk about abortions. We didn't talk about stealing. We didn't talk about all those things. We didn't talk about abandonment. We didn't talk about those kind of things. We didn't talk about physical abuse or emotional abuse or drinking and driving. We didn't talk about those things, but all those things are combined. Most of those things are sinful. And we need to remind ourselves, because I think there's a bunch of Christians out there that's got themselves on this high and mighty that I am saved and I'm above you and shame on you for living the way that you live. We need to remember that we were once that way. Amen? We once lived that way, away from Christ. And so we should know what that's like. We should remember what that's like. Some of you have maybe harder stories than others, but in God's case, it doesn't matter how bad or horrible your story is or what you did, we're all sinners. Amen? But you've chosen to take the gift of salvation, and you repented of your sins. You made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You have salvation. You begin to follow in his footsteps. You become baptized. You partake of communion. You attend the local church faithfully. Did you hear me? Faithfully. You're growing in your walk with Christ, and you're becoming what God wants you to become. But sometimes we get arrogant, and we begin to look around at everybody else, and we start judging everybody else. We start judging those. The first thing we do to be able to make a difference is we need to know there is a difference. And we used to be that way. We used to be that way. And we just read over those. Okay, number two. People who become Christians are to turn away from the things of darkness and to live as a light. How do we make a difference? We need to turn away from that darkness and start living as light. Start living as light. The Bible tells us in Matthew, is that what do you have? Matthew chapter 5, that's what I got. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says this, "You're the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people put a light under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. It gives light to everyone in the house that they may see your good deeds, and they end up praising your Father also that you serve, that you praise." And so we see that there's a part that Jesus says, you need to be the light of the world now. You are the light. All this darkness in the world, all this ugliness in the world, all this sin in the world, now you've been saved, and now you're made alive in Christ. You know, if you don't have Christ, you're just a dead man walking. That's all. You're just a dead person walking. Once the air expands out of your chest, your heart stops, you're done. You're completely done. You are separated from God. You from eternally, you are separated. You've had your life to live, and it's over. Okay? When we become to know who Christ is, we walk away. He saves us from that because we make Him our Lord and Savior. We repent. He saves us from that eternal death to give us eternal life. And we're alive in Christ. And when we're alive in Christ, we begin to say, you know what? Now I am alive, so I'm going to push away from the darkness. I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to take out, and I'm going to walk with the light that Jesus is in my life. So I'm going to walk around. I'm going to be the light of the world. So where your lifestyle should radiate off of you, or that Jesus radiates off of you onto other people. We should be living different. And this is an area that the Christian church is struggling with, the American church is struggling with, because we don't want to live different than the world. We want to let our light shine on Sundays, but we don't want to let our light shine on any other day of the week. We're too busy about ourselves. And we need to do this. We are to shine as ambassadors for Christ. The Bible says we are ambassadors. Paul says we are ambassadors to Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors to Christ. That means we represent Jesus wherever we go. We need to represent. We need to represent. And I'm asking you, are you representing Jesus wherever you go? You need to represent. Let that light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, and then begin to praise your Father also who is in heaven. For them to also begin to praise Jesus as well, because they're seeing you differently. You are a light. And then when that happens, we go to four, will you? There we go. And then we'll go back to three. So when that happens, and people begin to ask you, why do you believe in what you do? We need to speak to lost people. So we're to speak to lost people. So we're to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter has a piece here for us. It's a really good piece here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. He says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So what he's saying, he says, we need to be prepared to give an answer when someone says, why do you go to church on Sundays? The scriptures just tells us we need to be able to give an answer to that. Answer to that. A good answer. A good Christian, godly answer. We have to say, because this is who Jesus is in my life. I used to live that way. We don't do it to put them down. We do it to raise up Jesus in the middle of this conversation of what and how he's changed your life. And so we see this whole thing here. Well, we ought to be able to give an answer for the reason why. Not only do we go to church, but why do we believe in Jesus? And people say, why do you believe in God? Or why do you even give to the church? Why do you spend so much time? The biggest one is for family members is, why are you always spending so much time at the church? Why don't you ever come around no more? It isn't that you stop coming around. It's just that they want you to do things, and they want to pick Sunday as being that day for you to spend time with them, and you are feeling that compelled, and you want to honor God and want to worship Him on Sunday. But family members are going to start pointing the finger because you're not spending time with them, and they want you to give an answer why. And you need to be ready for that. You need to be able to answer the question today, why are you here? If I ask you, why are you here? You ought to have an answer. If I ask you, if I was to ask you, why do you pray? You ought to be able to give me an answer. If I ask you, how do you become a Christian? You ought to be able to give me an answer. You ought to be able to share the gospel with anyone and everyone. If someone says, hey, how did you become a Christian? Or why? You should be able, that's your open door to be able to say, this is how I became. This is what I was. This is what God did for me. This is why my life is different. But we're not doing that. Most of us, we won't do that because we're so caught up in what we're doing. We're not doing this. And we need to do this. There are people that God has put you in connection with for you to share this good news that you have. It's called the gospel. It's called, I'm different, and I want to be different. And you could be different, but you can't do it on your own. You can only do it with the power and the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It's not a gift that you earn. So many people think you earn it on the scales of good and bad and the balances of which one balances bigger than the other. Those that do good works they get to go to heaven. Those who do more bad, they go to hell. And that's what people think. That's not the truth at all. We just read that our salvation is by grace alone. Amen? We can't work it. We can't work to get there. But we want to. We want to work to get there. We want to work to get there. You can't work your way into heaven. You see, I think that was the issue with Cain and Abel. Cain wanted to work himself into all that. Cain was a worker. And he wanted to work himself into that relationship with God. You can't do that. It has to be from the heart. It has to be open. And God gives us that grace. So I'm asking you, can you answer the question of why? If you have Christ in your life, why do you have Christ in your life? People want to know why. People want to know why. Go back to 3 now. Now, we were created to do good works. A lot of people don't like that. But it says that we were created to do good works. He says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, what we just read, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So once we were in that lost, dark world, separated from God, he knocks on our heart's door, and some of us have received it and says, yes, I want salvation. Yes, I want to repent of my sins, and I want to make you Lord of my life. And we step out of the darkness and into the light, and it wasn't by works. It was by God's grace. And we get in there, and we're supposed to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good deeds and that they would begin to worship God as well. They see that what it is working. And we see that, and we'll be able to give a word back to people why we believe in what we believe. But we're also created to do good works. You want to hear something that's been put out for a long time about why this is on my back. It's been said and written that if you want your people to really be faithful, give them a job in the church and they'll be faithful. Y'all ever heard that? Give them a job in the church and they'll be faithful. And there's a part of that that says, hey, you know what, I know I need to be there, and we need to be using our God-given gifts and talents and we need to be doing those things and sharing with others, and there's a part of that. But we should want to be in the presence of God when we can. We should want to be in the presence of worship. We want to be a part of worship and present ourselves for worship anyways. So what happens is this whole thing is that we are created in the workman. We were God's workmanship. We are created to do good works for Him. We should want to serve Jesus for what He's done for us. We should want to do things for Him. Problem is we get into personality conflicts, we get into all other things, and if we can just push those things aside and just be focused on Jesus and do what we can do, use our talents and our gifts, I'm telling you, your life would be so much easier, so much better, and you'd have a peace and a joy and an inner peace inside of you when you begin to serve the Lord, no matter what it is, just serving with a full, loving heart and get busy about doing God's things, because I'm telling you, there's so many Christians today that just want God to jump on their agenda. God, jump on my plan. God, get on my road. God, be a part of what I'm doing. And I've told you before, that's not going to happen. No, it's, Lord, what can I do to get on your plan? Lord, what do you want? What do you have for me? I want to get on what you want me to do. I want to get on your purposes, not on my purposes. Because it says this, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. He already knows what He wants you to do. He's already got a plan for you. So when we ask Him to jump on our plan, it's better for us to say, Lord, what is your plan? And get on the plan that He has for us. And then we can be living in His will. And then people begin to say, man, I've known you for so long and your life has changed and things are going, what happened to you? And then your opportunity. Well, let me tell you, God made a difference in my life. I know I used to be like that, but I found out that that wasn't the right way of living. So I've turned my ways around. And I want to tell you, we can share the word today, we can put it, but I guarantee you this, we got people, and even in New Life, that's going to go out and continue to live with somebody. Going to have that fornication, going to have that. I'm just going to do it. And they still want God to bless them. They still want God and everything they have. They want the salvation. Some of the Baptists are bad about it. Once saved, always saved. Now I got my ticket, my golden ticket, and I can go out and do what I want to do. I'm telling you, we miss the verses where God says, God disciplines those whom he loves, and the hammer comes down. God knows how to put a whipping stick on. I'm telling you, he knows how to hold a whipping stick. Some of you never had that in your life, I know, because you never had it. But I'm telling you, a whipping stick, hey, hurt. And there's none of this, I'm going to get out of trouble and these kind of things. I'm telling you, we created a mess. In America, we've created a whole mess, this whole tolerance thing. I'm telling you, the church has not stood up, and the church has not really stood up, and we're trying to please the crowd and try to please the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're trying to please the crowd and not please the Lord. Now, the biggest one of all is number five. We won't make a difference until we understand this. We won't make a difference until we understand this. And it's in Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 5, or 22. Not 5, 22. So if you want to turn there to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to start in 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tried to test Jesus with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first commandment and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? So if we're living in a world that if you can flip that next slide for me. If we're living in a world where we have all these, everybody's out there, and I think two of these people on the wall here are in red. These would be the people that are alive. And the rest of the people just walking, as you can see here, we probably have a guy here who's Muslim. We have a guy over here who's agnostic. We have a guy over here who's Jehovah's Witness. We have all these people just following different ways of the world. And we want to ridicule them at times, and we want to put them down at times. Basically, they're all lumped in the same group. They're lost. We want to separate and say, okay, here's Muslims, and we want to treat them one way, and we want to treat these people over here a different way because maybe they're Buddhist, and then we want to treat some other people here because they're Jehovah's Witness. They're all lost. We want to categorize everybody in a section. And there is categories, but when you lump them all together, you either have Jesus or you don't. You're either lost or you have salvation. You're with salvation and without salvation in Christ. And to love them means that you can try to share that story, not just with those in your family. This is when a church begins to understand. On Sunday nights, we do prayer and testimony time. And we have a lot of prayers for a lot of family members, but we need to learn how to love those who don't love us back. We need to be praying for all of them, even those in the world that causes pain and sorrow. We need to pray for them. We need to love those people next to us that just maybe God placed you next door. Maybe God placed them next door to you and it's like your worst neighbors. I don't know if you've ever had that. I've had a few neighbors I didn't care for at times because of certain things, but God begins to soften. You begin to learn how to love them, and to love them as yourself means that you're going to give them time. You're going to give them time because you would want time. And you're going to take moments and figure out maybe to invite them over or to spend some time with them and begin to get to know them. Because when you get to know someone, you'll find out that they're a person too. They're a person too. But to love people who don't look like us can be hard. To love people who don't act like us can be hard. And for Christians, sometimes that has become this this protective shell that I go and I belong to this church, and I'm a member here, and I keep all my friends are involved here, and we're not able to even share the gospel. We're not even get out there and be able to love our neighbors as ourselves. I think sometimes when we go around knocking on doors, sometimes we go out there and we share something with the neighbors in the streets and people. You know, not everybody does that, and I understand that. But I don't know if you've ever had the door slammed on your face. You know what? The best answer to that is go on to the next house. Continue to love the neighbors. Because if not, and you get your first door slammed on your face, you're going to quit. And you're not going to, because you become scared. And you can judge them and say, well, I'm not ever going to come back to this place again, and leave. Well, the one thing God said, it would never be easy. It's not always going to be easy to love your neighbor. You know, the pastor's wife the pastor's wife who was murdered in Indianapolis, I was reading there, and it said something, I'm not ready to forgive. You know? But I don't know if I would be ready to give either. But one thing I know is God is patient. God is patient. I mean, he just, you know, it says, his wife was murdered. But to me, in my opinion, two people were murdered. It was his wife and the baby she was carrying. And the first thing you want to ask him is, do you forgive? Do you forgive? Do you forgive? Because that's what everybody wants as a Christian, just to forgive everything. You just beat a Christian down and you forgive, forgive. You know what? And sometimes that's a work in progress. But that's the difference, the world and the Christian. We may not be ready to forgive at the moment, but we know that God is doing a work. Because I had to sit there and look and say, you know, I don't know if I don't know. I don't think I'd be ready either. But I know this about God. He is patient and willing and able to comfort us and to work through that through some time. There'll be a day, because I know how awesome our Savior is. There will be a day that he will forgive. That's the amazing part of being a believer in Christ. That we can do things unimaginable. Not in our own power, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the relationship that we have with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the lost doesn't have that. They only have what they see with their physical eyes. They have emotions. They have a conscience. They have a mind. They have a soul. They have a spirit. And we have all those things too, but there's something different that we have that they don't have. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God who leads and guides and convicts and shares and speaks to our heart and reveals things through his word. And teaches us through his word, speaks to us through prayer, and continues to be with us. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God will always be with us. Now imagine if that went away from you right now. All that stuff, the promise of heaven, everything. Your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everything is off the plate now. And you're back over here. And you're lost. And you don't have that. You don't have that inner peace when things have fallen apart and there's one little thing, one little spot in your life that's keeping it all together, and that's the Lord. You don't have that no more. You don't have that, any of that. And you sit there and you think just for a moment what that feels like. And then we become so thankful for what we have in Christ. Now we come back over here. I like over here. I have the Lord. I have the Holy Spirit. I have a friend in Jesus. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador. I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm all those things because this is what God made me. I don't ever want to go back over there. Here's the problem. We got Christians wanting to play back over there. But we never want to go back over there. But listen to me. There are people over here trying to figure out how to get over there. And if the Christians are not sharing their stories with these people, they're not witnessing to these people, they're not living different than these people, then the blinders begin to come up. And they just assume that they're hypocrites. they begin to make judgment. Some true, some a lot of false, but they're making judgment. And they get angry, and they begin to get in the world, and they hear all the things we talked about this morning, and they get tunnel vision, and all of a sudden, they put these walls up, and it's all about them and their family. And they get tunnel vision. Because this side will not share what they have. They want it. They just don't know how to get it. You have it. You know how you got it. Now your job is to show them how to get it. You can't make them get it, but you can show them how you live. And it was amazing. We went to Panda yesterday. Me, Carla, and Grant went to Panda, and I just loved it. I seen a young couple with their kids, and they prayed in front of Panda. And they kind of looked around. I thought, sometimes people get a little awkward. And it's a little loud, and they prayed, and I said, thank you, Lord, for people. Our Christians are not ashamed of their testimony of Jesus. Just a little bit of that. And I'm telling you what, they let their light shine in just that moment. And people see that, and they're always watching. That's something that seems to be small, but it's very big. They're living out their life with Jesus. They're living it out, and they're living it out in the public area. And that's how we need to be. So because we're alive in Christ, so let us thrive in this world. We're not to love this world. We're to love the one that made the world. Amen? The world, the people, they love the world. This is why we struggle, because Christians, they start loving the world, they start loving the world, not the world that the Lord made. They're not loving the Maker, they're loving the world. That causes us problems. We need to love the world, amen? The creator of the world. The world is just where we live in. Let me read for you this. Ephesians chapter 2 again, he says in verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of God's household. I like that. Because we are Christians, we're fellow citizens with God's people, and we become a Christian, and we become members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I don't know where you're at today, but I know this, that I am alive in Christ. I know where I came from. I know the things I've done. And I'm so thankful that Jesus forgives. But I am alive, but I'm only alive because of Christ. I'm only alive through Christ. I'm a part of his family because of Christ. I'm a member of the family of God because of Jesus Christ. And it's not by works, but it's by his grace. But once I receive that grace, I begin to understand that I need to start serving him. And so I began serving him in small roles in the church when I first became a Christian. I began to put up chairs in the schoolhouse when we were first meeting in Fort Wayne, and tearing chairs down after service, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I was 12 years old. And there was something about just doing the thing that I was supposed to do. That was my purpose at that time. If that was God's purpose for me at that time, it felt right, no matter what it was. And I've seen people get up and they come to church and they were just physically fit, could able to do that better than I could, and they would get up and they would just leave right after service. And I watched a couple other guys do the same thing. Another friend of mine would do the same thing. And my brother would do the same thing. And I began to watch ourselves grow up. And we make mistakes and we get off track from time to time, but we always continue to serve in the church. We get to serve in the church. And I'm here now pastoring. My friend is a pastor in Ohio, and he started there. My brother is helping the church with our campus location in Fort Wayne. And he'll do anything. And it's not because of we're boastful about what we do. This is how awesome God is. That if you just are faithful with the little things, and you stay faithful with what he's called you to do, no matter what it is, you'll be amazed where he takes you. He'll be amazed where he takes you in ministry, but you'll also be amazed where he takes you in your family. So I'm just going to ask you a question. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Or you got hang-ups here on the world? Are you ready to be able to share with those who are lost, those who are saved? Are you ready to share the story of the gospel with those who are lost? Because you're alive in Christ. They're dead. They're separated from Christ. The Bible tells us that he'll wash away all of our tears. And when I read that verse, a couple of things come up at me. One of those things is, you know, somebody says, man, I'll see my loved ones over there. But sometimes I think, is it going to be just you're going to see your loved ones, or you're just going to see the mass of people that are separated? The Bible says they will separate the sheep from the goats, saved from the lost. And I couldn't help but think, is there people that I should have shared, I could have shared the story of Jesus with, that I didn't, because I was so caught up in myself. I just want to challenge you today that if you're alive in Christ, live like you're alive in Christ. Be alive. Let people see a difference in your lifestyle. Let people see a difference in how you think and how you handle certain situations. And give you the reason why you do what you do, so that they may see and have that opportunity too. So I don't know about you, but I kind of tend to think it's always getting closer for Jesus' return. Amen? It always seems like it's getting closer. And he tarries, and the Father tarries because he wants more people to come to Christ. More people to come to Christ. And we let a light shine. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to come this morning, you can. If you want to pray about your relationship with Christ, you can do that. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, I'll be down here and you can talk to me about that. If you have some questions, I'll be able to answer some of those, and we'll talk about that. But I want to ask you this one specific question. Are you living as the light that Jesus wants you to live, so that others may see how you live your life? Are you living alive as a Christian should?